Right, you would open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Go to chapter 7. I sure appreciate that special. And I really appreciate lunch. That was great, too. I had a great time over there this afternoon. Psalms chapter 7. While you're turning there, I understand there's a lot going on. It's a busy time of the year, and so I promise that we will not take very long tonight. But if I could just have your attention for the next few moments, I pray that I will be a blessing to you all. Psalms chapter 7, we're going to start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest He tear my soul like a lion, rendering it pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, and if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And let's pray tonight. Father, we come to you, thanking you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thanking you, Lord, for the grace you've given us to rest last night and to get up and have strength for today. We thank you for your blessings and for your love and for all that you are, Lord. We thank you for the service this morning and for your word. And Lord, I just pray for everyone that came tonight, Lord, that I pray that you would be exalted in their hearts and their lives. Lord, I don't know what their needs are. I don't know what's on their heart or what their burdens might be, Lord, or what kind of trials or testing they might be going through, Lord. But you know. And God, I just pray that you would work and Holy Spirit, you would minister as only you can. I pray that your presence would be evident this evening. I pray that you would be glorified, Lord, and you would be pleased. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. If you look back just a moment at verse 9, towards the end, you see the Bible says, For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And I believe every word is in the Bible for a reason. It's there for a purpose. I don't believe there's any word there that's just randomly placed there without a reason. And the Bible very well could have said, For God trieth the hearts and reins. Is that my fault, the sound? Okay. All right, I'm just going to go on. I appreciate you helping there. I believe that the Bible could have said, God trieth the hearts and reins. But we see that the Bible doesn't say that. It says, the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And I believe there is a purpose for everything that God does. And everything that God does is for a reason. And He is perfect in doing that. God never makes a mistake. Nothing ever slips out of His hand. He never fails us. The Bible says that everything that He does and everything that He puts in our lives, He is righteous in doing that. God is never wrong. We're never right and God wrong, and God never has a problem or nothing in our lives is ever God's fault. You see, God is righteous in everything that He does. I love the Psalms. It's probably, I don't know if I'd say it's my favorite book, but there's not a book in the Bible I love more than the Psalms. I love studying and reading it, and I love reading about the author, who wrote it, and why they wrote it. And if you study this psalm, in Psalm 7, you'll find that the author's David, one of my favorite Bible characters. And if you study here in this psalm, you'll find that David, at the time that he is writing this, is going through a great trial in his life. He is, at the time of the psalm, he is running away from a man named King Saul, who is seeking his life. We see many of you probably very familiar with David's life, and how, as a young man, he was used of God to save his nation as he slew the giant of Goliath. And you probably are familiar with the stories about the ladies singing the song that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And Saul, being the king there, became very jealous and saw David as someone who was a threat for his throne. And so King Saul vows to kill David. He spends many days pursuing after David's life in an attempt to slay him. We find David, as a young man, ran away. And it wasn't because David was afraid to fight or it wasn't because he felt he couldn't be victorious, but because David refused to lift up his hand against God's anointed. And because David realized that vengeance belonged to God, and that wasn't his job to do. That was God's job. And we see that at the writing of this psalm, David was in a cave, fleeing for his life. And I could vision him in more than likely the mountains of a place called Engedi, which was a wilderness with limestone hills or great mountains that would rise about 200 to 400 foot above the earth. And inside that limestone rock, you would find in the bottom would be burrowed caves, just numberless caves in the bottom of that rock. You would find David and some of the men that were with him hiding from cave to cave, or from hole to hole, trying to get away from King Saul and the army that was chasing David's life. And if you could just imagine, just for a moment, just a young man running for his life, hiding out from cave to cave, having no idea if this man would find him, having no idea if he would live the next week or the next day or perhaps the next few hours. I had no idea, probably very lonely, very frightened, probably very disillusioned. Well, we see him as a young man who brought honor to his nation, and a young man who had God in his life and was very blessed, and God used him. God's power was evident in his life. But we see now that he is alone. He is without his family and his friends, and he is just with a few others who left their homes because they were discontent with their life, and they went to David. People who were in debt and other things in their lives, probably not very reputable type of people, not very didn't really have a good testimony or a good life, and so they're dissatisfied, so they left it to be with David. And so we see him with that group of men hiding out, and it's probably a very hard time in his life trying to figure out what is God doing and why is he in the position and the situation that he is in. We see honor should have come from the king. We see that in his place came jealousy. We see that God had a reason for allowing David to go through all of this. And we know the life of David, and not just this situation, but his whole life. And we can look and see how God used this time in David's life to prove him and to purify David and to make David the great king that we all know him as today, the man who was known as the man who sought after God's own heart and the great king of Israel that he was. And we see that God was using this not to destroy David or to mess up his life, but to make David the king that he one day needed him to be. And this is a time where God had him in the pressure cooker or under the fire. He was chipping away and molding David to be the man he needed him to be. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it here. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So see, God sends tests and trials into our lives not to destroy us, but to make us better than what we were before. And everything that God does is for a reason. And everything that God does is for a purpose. I remember growing up, I would oftentimes get into trouble. I had an older brother and a younger sister, and oftentimes I would fight with either my brother or I'd fight with my sister, but I always getting a lot of trouble. I remember oftentimes my dad coming to me and giving me this real firm look and saying, "Daniel, I want you to go to your room, sit on your bed." And of course, I knew he didn't have to tell me what was going to happen. I knew, and I went in my room and shut the door and sat on my bed. And he'd always say, "Dan, I want you to think about what you did. And I want you to know why it was wrong to do what you did." And so I'd sit on my bed for about 5 or 6 minutes and think about, you know, what I had done and what rule I'd broken and why I shouldn't have done that. And then my dad would come in, and you all probably know what was coming. He'd sit on my bed with me. And just before he'd give me this big whooping, that's what we call it. You all may call it spankings, but I call it a whooping. And just before he'd give me this whooping, he'd always look at me and say, "Daniel," and this is probably the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, he'd say, "Daniel, before I do this, I just want to let you know this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." I think, "Dad," I didn't tell him this, but I think, "Dad, that is the craziest thing. I'm the one that's getting the whooping. How is it going to hurt you? I'm the one that's getting the punishment here." I'm just 23, but looking back, I don't have any kids yet or right now. not that I know of. But looking back, I can understand how that hurt my dad more than it hurt me. To see his son, someone he loved so much, he brought into the world and who had raised and he fed me and took good care of me, and to see me have to suffer and go through punishment, and it hurt him more to see me have to do that, for him having to do that to me, than for me to actually get through that. You know, 30 minutes later, I was great. You know, I didn't even remember it. Well, there's a few I remember, but for the most part, I was fine. But I could understand how that really did hurt my dad more than it hurt me. And tonight we have a Heavenly Father. And I really believe tonight that it hurts Him worse to see us go through trials and go through testing and to go through hard times than it does for us to go through them. You know, God is willing to let us go through those times and to have those heartaches and those trials and those situations in our life where we just don't understand and we don't see why this fits in our life and how this is God's will and why such a good and a merciful and a gracious God could allow us to go through such a hard time. But I honestly believe tonight that it probably hurts God to see us have to go through that, even though God knows it's making us better and it's making us stronger and it's exactly what we need. I'm sure it still hurts God more than it does for us to have to go through those times. But tonight, I just basically want to focus on that what God does in our lives is for us to be stronger, to be more like Him. And I'd like to notice quickly tonight three facts about the life of David that will help us to follow God's will while going through testing and going through trials. And first of all, I'd like to notice God's presence in David's life. If you turn your Bibles quickly to 1 Samuel, we're going to go to chapter 16 and start reading in verse 13. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. We'll look at a verse here. We're going to notice the presence of God in David's life. The Bible says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." So we see here that the Spirit of God came upon David as just a very young man, as he was out with a flock of sheep and doing work for his dad or his father. We see that he was brought in and he was anointed with oil. And the Bible says the presence of God came upon him from that day and forward. And so first of all, we see in David's life, he had God's presence with him. And surely David never would have made it through these hard times that we just talked about and read about in Psalms and the time that he is going through. He never would have made it through that if he hadn't had God's presence working and the evidence of God's presence there in his life and knowing that God was with him. And just like David did that day and during that time in his life, we as well today need God's presence in our lives, whether we are in the heat of a battle or we're going through a valley right now or perhaps we will be tomorrow. But it's important that we have God's presence in our lives and we have that evidence that we know that He is with us. The Bible says He will never leave us nor forsake us. In John 14, chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus is speaking here and He says, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." In chapter 16, verse 7 of John, Christ says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you." If you're here tonight, and if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've come to a point in your life where you realize you were a sinner, you realize you had no hope to get to heaven whatsoever, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing that you could do, but Jesus Christ did it all for you when He died on the cross, when He was buried, and when He rose again from the dead, and He did it all for you, and all you have to do is turn and repent, and to do a 160 or 180, and turn completely around, and face God, and repent completely and trust God as your Savior. And that's all you have to do to receive Christ. And if you're here and you've done that, then the Bible says that God, or Jesus Christ, lives within you. And you are a new creature in Him. And you have a new person, or the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And you are sealed until the day of redemption. There's nothing you can do to get unsaved. There's no kind of sin or nothing you can do in your life to get away from that, to get away from Christ and who He is. And there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation there. Once you are saved, you're saved. And we see that He lives within you. He's never going to leave you in a hard time or a trial that perhaps you're going through. Christ is still there. He's still with you. I'm not saying that you're always going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with God, but I'm saying that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. And we see it's important tonight that we're saved. And not only that we know that we have God within us, but we're filled with Him. We have His presence in our lives. So we see God's presence in David's life. Next of all, I like to notice God's power in David's life. If you look back at chapter 7 and go back there to verse 1, we'll see the Bible says, "O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me." And if you look back at that word Lord there, as Brother Dietrich said this morning, that word Lord is translated from the word Jehovah. And that means the self-existent or the eternal. Is expressing the essential, the eternal, the unchangeable being of Jehovah God, the one who is the same yesterday, the one who is the same today, and the one who is the same forever. And he is speaking to the one here who is the beginning and the one who is the end, the one who is the first, the one who is the last. And then he says, "Oh Lord," he says, "my God." And that word God there is translated from the word Elohim. That word denotes the fullness of divine strength. The sum of powers displayed by God, the great all-powerful and the great almighty and all-knowing God. So we see David, he is speaking to Jehovah. He's speaking to the covenant God, the God of Israel, his personal God. And he is also speaking to Elohim, the creator God. So he's speaking to Jehovah, the God of love, and he's speaking to Elohim, the God of power. And we see that David knew who he was speaking to and the one who had all power in his life and all control, and he knew who he was trusting in. And we see God's power working through David's life. We see he trusts in the God who is light, the God who is love and invisible, the God who is immutable, the God who is great and gracious, very kind. And David knew who he was trusted in and whose power was working in his life. You see, as a young shepherd boy, David was out working the flock of sheep, and we find in the Bible that a bear came out to get the sheep and to attack, and we find that David, as a young shepherd boy, defended that, and God delivered him from the hand of the bear, and he killed or he slew that bear. We see that a lion came out, and David as well, he slew that lion. We see God's power protecting David as a young shepherd boy, but also working through him. And no doubt, David as a young man, that grew his faith. If I saw a lion, I get scared when I see him in the zoo, but if I saw one face to face, or if I was supposed to defend a flock of sheep and a lion came out, I would be definitely scared. And there's no doubt I in my own strength could not defeat a lion. But we see that God worked through David to do that. And very likely this was a stepping stone of his faith as he took another step of faith and growing closer to the Lord and growing closer in his faith to God. And we see that God continued to let him take steps as he went also to fight a giant Goliath, and how that was another step in David's faith and growing in his trust in God. And how as a young man, no doubt could never defeat a great giant who actually thought he was just as he came out before him to fight him, he called him a dog to fetch his stick. You know, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? You're coming out to defeat the greatest Philistine ever lived. And we see that God worked through David. His power protected him, but his power is also working through his life. Just like God's power ought to protect us, but also work through our lives and to make us what we ought to be, but to take care of us during the hard times in our lives. In the last verse of 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 24, we see that David here is going through this hard time that we mentioned in chapter 7. And we find out that David here is depending completely in the Lord, in God, to deliver him. He says, "So let my life be much said in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." We see that David knew what God was doing in his life was more important than David getting out of his problems. David's life was about God. His life was not about himself. And as it was said this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding. And always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And what a man who lived that, who trusted in God with all his heart. And even though David did not understand perhaps what was going on in his life at that time, he still trusted the Lord and wasn't leaning on what he understood and what it seemed like it was happening to him. But he trusted in his God, the God who created him, the God who had all power, the God who knew that who he was the one who was in complete control and had control of the situation. He trusted in him. Say, God, I'm going to trust what you're doing. What is happening in my life makes no sense to me. But I'm trusting in what you're doing. God, my life, I'm not living my life for me and for myself. I am living it for you and for your will to be done. So we saw God's presence in his life. We see his power working to protect him, but also working through him in his life. And last of all, we see his plan in David's life. As David runs from King Saul in the wilderness of Engedi, David has a chance, we see, to end all of his problems. And if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24, be the last passage you'll need to turn to. We'll see in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 3. I won't read it for the sake of time, but if you want to read it later on, but you'll find out through this passage here that Saul ends up entering into the same cave that David and his men are hiding in. So as I said at the beginning, that David and his men were hiding from hole or from cave to cave, away from King Saul and the, I believe it was about 3,000 soldiers that were seeking his life. We find that King Saul ends up entering or going into the very same cave that David is in. We see that it wasn't with his soldiers and with his men, but Saul took a break and went in this cave to perhaps get some rest or take a nap or maybe to get out of the heat of the day. But he goes in alone without any of his men, without any of his soldiers. And he goes in the cave where David and his men are in. We find out that David's men, recognizing that what has happened in the situation that Saul has entered into the cave, and his David's men in there encourage him to end Saul's life. Say, hey, David, this is the chance you've been waiting for. This is the time where God says, even in the Bible, David, you know this, God says he'll deliver the enemy into the hand of the righteous. David, this is when God has delivered your enemy into your hand. This is your chance to get out of your problem. This is your opportunity to get out of the situation that you're in, that's causing you this stress, that's causing you this suffering, this persecution. This is your opportunity, David, to end your problem. And we find out that David here gets out his sword or his knife there, and he cuts a piece of Saul's garment off. Saul didn't even know, wasn't even aware what happened there. We see that the king walks out of the cave, and then David runs out behind him. He falls on his knees there, and he starts pouring his heart out and how he thought about it. He considered killing the king, but he refrained himself from doing so because he decided not to lift up his hand against God's anointing. He decided he would not do that. And we see that he had the opportunity, he had the chance there to get out of his problem, but he decided not to. And we see that Saul, after David pours his heart out before Saul, we see that King Saul goes back to his kingdom there, and later on he seeks David's life again. And David knew that. He had been many times, many opportunities where he could have killed David. He did not, and he left. But he always comes back, makes the decision. It seems like that's it. And reading that story for the first time, I thought, yes, David did it, and God delivered him out of his hand. But King Saul came back to seek David, and David knew that. He knew he could have ended the problem. He could have went back home and with his family and had a wonderful rest of the year, but he decided not to. He decided to stay in the battle, to stay in that trial that God had put him in, and trusting God and knowing that God would deliver him and God would take care of his problems, and trusting God more than himself and more than what he could have done when he could have destroyed his enemy. He could have been free and could have went home and been fine and had been done with this problem in his life that was grieving him and causing him such suffering and causing him such pain. We see he could have got out of it. But David decided not to. He decided rather just to trust in God, that God would continue to take care of him. You see, David realizes through God's Spirit that God would continue to take care of him, and that all the problems that were happening there were for a reason. And David decided to go God's way, to keep suffering, to continue fleeing from this man who later would try to slay him again. If you were in the same position tonight, I wonder, perhaps you're maybe not in this exact situation, perhaps you're in a hard time tonight. Perhaps you're in a valley tonight where you can look up and all you see is black storm clouds. And you see no sun and you see no blue sky and you see no beautiful white puffy clouds. All you see is the dark and the gray. And you're in the valley and the hill before you looks too great. The mountain before you looks too steep to climb upon. And you don't know what you're doing and you don't know what's going to happen next. I just want to encourage you to keep going, that you can continue, and that God knows where you're at and He knows what He's doing in your life. You see, David was right there in the valley with no sight of tomorrow or how he would climb out of that. He had no idea how this would end up, but he did know that his God, the God who had all power, the God who was in control, the God who made no mistakes, the God who is perfect and who is righteous, was trying him, and his God would deliver him. His God would take him out and deliver him out of this situation, not just to get him out of it, but to get out of it victoriously, being the man he needed to be. Now, if David would have chose to kill the king there, and in his life, perhaps he never would have became the king that he could have become or did become, because he decided he wasn't going to try to get out of all of his problems himself. He wasn't just going to depend on just himself, but he was going to depend on God. And we see that he continued. Saul came after his life again, but he continued suffering. He continued going through the problem because he knew that God is still working in his heart. He was still working in his life. Perhaps you're just like David. Perhaps you're going through a hard time tonight. I encourage you just to keep going. To look at the plan there, the big picture, God's plan for your life, and see that God is going to take you through that. We see that David, later on, he went to Gath and then to Ziklag in the land of the Philistines for a year and 4 months. He led 600 men that were in distress, men that were in debt, to be victorious people and defend God's enemies. We see that Saul and his sons, they end up dying during a battle with the Philistines. And David becomes the king. And God uses these fiery times in David's life to test him and to prove him and to make him the king that God needed him to be. The man, the king, after God's own heart. And reading this story, oftentimes I become a part of the story or the place that I'm reading. And I love reading there through 1 and 2 Samuel and reading about David's life. And so often as I read that, I want to jump in there and I want to talk to David. I want to be there in the cave beside him and going through this trial with him and say, "Hey, David, I just want to let you know that I read the rest of your story. I know what's going to happen later in your life. And David, I just want to tell you to keep on going. And David, don't give up and don't stop now, because it's going to be gooder. It's going to be a lot better. It's going to be so much greater in the end. And God's really going to use you in a special way. And David, don't give up, because I know the rest of your story. And God is just using this time to chip away the places that need to be chipped. And God is making you to be more like Him. And God is He's molding your life. And David, God is putting you through the fire right now, but it can be greater later on if you just continue, if you just take another step and keep going and just keep following the Lord and trusting in God and growing your faith and living for the Lord and doing what is right, even though you don't understand what is going on. You can still continue. You can still make it. If you just take another step, God will help you and He will be there in the end. He will make you what you need to be. He's doing this to make you better than what you were before." So we see God is using the hard times to make Him greater, and David realized that. And you and yourself may not be able to make it, but we see we have a God tonight that is able. He is the Alpha, Alpha, and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is almighty, all-powerful, and all-knowing. And He knows exactly what you're going through. He's probably hurting worse than you hurt to see you have to go through that. But He wants you to make it tonight. And I just want to encourage you. And this week, as Vacation Bible School starts, I have no idea what perhaps may lie ahead next week. I don't know the kids that will come or perhaps what may happen. But I do know that God is in control, and everything that happens for a reason, it's for a purpose. And whatever problem, whatever trial we may have, whether it be related to perhaps our family or the church, whatever it might would be, God knows what He's doing. And just trust in God. Just put your faith, your trust in the Lord. He'll grow it, and He'll make you greater. He'll make you better than what you were before. We don't need to flee from what God is doing in our life. God wants His help to help us more. And we want to be helped. You know, so many people, they go through a hard time or they go through a trial and they get upset and they get bitter against God because they don't understand why God would allow them to go through such a thing or such a hard time. But we see God's not doing it just to give us a hard time. He's doing it to make us better. He's doing it to make us greater than what we were before. And we see that God is perfect. He is righteous and just. And He's doing that. He is working in our lives for His glory to make us more like Him. I'll end here with this story. One day, while a refiner was looking at the gold in the fire, a young man came by very curious, and he asked him how long he would keep that gold there in the fire. And the gold refiner said, "Well, I keep it in the fire there until it's purified." And the young man, very curious, he asked, he said, "Well, how do you know when that gold is purified?" And the gold refiner, he said, "Well, I know when it's purified when I can look down and I can see the reflection of my face in that gold." And that tonight, that's what God's doing with our lives. That's what He wants. That's what He's doing. He wants to look down and He wants us to go through the fire, go through the trials and the testing of life so that He can look down and look in our lives and He can see His reflection. That's what He wants in our lives. And that is the ultimate way to go. That is the ultimate victory in our lives when we become like Christ. That is God's will. There's many ways to perhaps get through testing or time in our life. We may get through that. But it's not just getting through the hard times in life. It's getting through it in God's will. Becoming victorious. David, no doubt, he could have killed King Saul. He could have got through what he went through. He could have got through this time. It would have been fine. He would have been out. He could have done that, but David waited. He continued. He stayed in what God was doing in his life, and we see that God made him greater and better than what he would have been if he decided to get out early. And we see that God puts us through things, and He knows the timing. He knows when He wants to get us out, but He has us in there to make us greater. So don't fight with God. If He's putting something in your life, don't get upset at God. Don't get bitter at God. Don't flee from God. We ought to run to God because He is the one who is in control. He is the one who is making us greater and better than what we are before. So if I could have everyone to stand at this time and go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes.